following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me for the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for the 486th podcast episode. We're counting down to 500. And, of course, it's Wednesday. It's time to talk Union Men's Hockey with the head coach, Josh Halgie. Josh, how's it going?
It's going well. Yourself?
No bad. Not too bad. No train this week, huh?
Nope, got here right on time.
All right. Well, let's look back at last weekend's games against the North Country teams as Clarkson and St. Lawrence made their first visits to M&T Bank Center. It was a weekend split. Union dropped a 5-1 decision to Clarkson on Friday, but bounced back with a 5-2 victory over St. Lawrence on Saturday. Before we get into the specifics of the games, Josh, your general thoughts of last weekend?
I thought we played a lot of, you know, solid hockey. You know, obviously made some mental lapses where we gave up some goals and opportunities that I thought maybe, you know, we'd like to have back. But overall, I thought there was a lot better hockey than it was of, you know, than the hockey you're disappointed in.
Yeah. Well, let's break down the games. We'll start with the Friday matchup against Clarkson. Great start for Union. The Garner Chargers had fired the first 8 shots on the goal and took a 1-0 lead on a Ben Muethersbaugh goal, 2-11 into the contest. I mean, how good were you feeling about the start?
Felt pretty confident. I thought that we were controlling the pace, had some opportunities, and Brandon Beer hit a post as well. So, like, you know, could have been 2-0, but, you know, got off to that solid start, and, you know, getting Ben back on track was important for us.
Well, then things went sort of sideways as Clarkson takes a 2-1 lead in goals that probably should have been stopped by goalie Cameron Corby, and you'll hear from him about that in a few minutes. Ty Brassington tied it at 13:05 of the first period when a shot from along the left wing goal line stuck past the post and Corpy's right arm. Then 2:01 later, Talon Sigerson put a bouncing puck past Corpy. Again, Cameron has played outstanding this season, no doubt about that. But how shocking was it to see him to give up those kind of goals?
I think anytime, you know, Cam lets in a goal, you're kind of shocked because he's just, like you said, he's been outstanding this season. And, you know, for us, we gotta focus on winning those draws, and then if we don't win them, you know, closing out a little quicker. You know, it falls on everybody on the ice.
Well, it doesn't get much better in the second period. Remy Jelena scores 4:35 into the second period. That on a goal Corpy had no chance on. Then things get really bad for Union at the 6-minute mark. The Garner Chargers are on a power play, but a turnover leads to a breakaway for Clarkson's Sean O'Donnell. Muethersbaugh is trying to chase him down, and he slashes O'Donnell. Corpy stops O'Donnell, but Muethersbaugh is called for high sticking. I think O'Donnell should probably have been awarded a penalty shot since it was a clear-cut breakaway. But in the meantime, Clarkson coach J.F. Uhl wants a video challenge because what was seen on the video was Muethersbaugh's stick hitting O'Donnell in the helmet. The officials watched video and they saw the stick making contact with the helmet. The penalty was upgraded to a 5-minute major and a game misconduct. So Clarkson gets an uninterrupted power play and they score once on it to take a 4-1 lead. I mean, how tough of a situation was that?
Difficult one for us. I mean, you look at the fact that we're on the power play and we turn a puck over and next thing you know, a guy's on a breakaway and, you know, Ben obviously didn't try to, you know, hit him in the head, but, you know, swung his stick. And when you do that, it was, you know, a little reckless and it got up and hit the kid in the head. Obviously, again, Ben did not try to do that, but, you know, gets kicked out of the game and you know, and all of a sudden now you got to kill, you know, 4 more minutes after the 4-on-4 for a minute.
I kept looking at that replay several times, and to me, first of all, it should be called a slashing penalty. I mean, took a swing. I don't know what – I mean, it's high stick, but, I mean, there was this slashing motion. To me, it just seemed like the stick hits O'Donnell's shoulder, the stick blade, and then just rides up and hits him in the helmet. It wasn't a big blow. Is just sort of a tap more than anything, but it is what it is. It's contact to the head with the stick, and that's, I mean, it's got to be called.
Yep, And I mean, it's one of those things that obviously he didn't try to, and I think you're right, it hits his shoulder and rides up. But when you swing your stick like that, it's you got to take ownership of it and be accountable for it. And if it hits him in the head, it's going to be a five.
Yeah. We will learn on Saturday that Muthesbog received a one-game suspension from ECAC Hockey, and we'll talk about that in our second segment. The third period, Union is pressing for goals, but Shane Soderwell was playing outstanding in the net. He made 39 saves in the game and capped it by stopping Carter Corpy on a penalty shot late in the game. Sigerson scores an empty net goal with 2:36 left to seal the 5-1 victory for Clarkson. What did you think of Soderwell's performance? I mean, he's a guy who played Division III hockey at Colby.
Yeah, I thought he was very good in that game. And, you know, for them, I thought, you know, we had plenty of opportunities to finish. And anytime, you know, we thought we were going to be celebrating, he found a way to get a stick on it or a blocker on it or just something. So, yeah, got to give him credit. He played well.
Yeah, you outshot Clarkson 40-17. But, you said after the game you thought the team played well. It was just a matter of running into a hot goaltender?
A little bit of that. And then, you know, again, you know, you have some opportunities. Their third goal, we just duplicated on a back check and left the guy wide open. You know, stuff like that can't happen. So it comes down to, you know, working hard and working smart. And I thought we worked really hard, but at times they're just not as smart as we could have been.
Well, let's hear from Clarkson head coach J.F. Wu and goalie Shane Soderwell.
Well, J.F., start didn't get – wasn't that great. You didn't get the first eight shots, but what was the key to selling things down there?
Well, I think, you know, our goalie made some key saves here, and obviously scoring that first goal kind of settled our bench a little bit. We settled into the game, but, you know, Union came out very strong, and we're hard on the forecheck. So, but happy that we kept the lead.
Yeah, two goals that probably should have been stopped by Corpy. The first one was a bad angle off his. Didn't cover that. Those two goals, did that really give you guys a lift heading into the second period?
Yeah, there's for sure. Playing with the lead always helps. You know, it's hard when you chase the game. We've been in that situation a couple of times this year, so it was nice to have a lead and learn for this young team to learn how to play with a lead and, you know, do the little details that will provide you to win.
Shane, for you, after that goal they scored, what went through your mind the rest of that game? You made some spectacular saves, including the one that capped with the penalty shot.
Yeah, just sticking to my whole process and keeping things simple was my goal. We had some huge goals and huge blocks to make us come back, so it was great.
It was a battle really of the transfer goaltenders. You coming from Division III, it's of course with the transfer portal now, it's probably going to be more possibilities of Division III guys coming to Division I. What led you to come to Clarkson? Did you think you could play after playing Division III?
Yeah, I think just you know, working super hard and competing each day was huge for me, and I'm thankful to be here at Clarkson. It's been great so far.
I mean, the penalty shot, you know, if they scored, it's only going to be 5-2. But what was going through your mind when Corpy's coming down?
Yeah, just stick to my whole process of, you know, cutting down that angle, and, you know, fortunately it hit my blocker, so.
JF, can you talk about the process of getting Shane here? So Clark?
Yeah, you know, obviously Shane's dominated at the D3 level. He's a goalie of the year a couple years in a row. He was the key to his team, and you know, he was available, and you know, he's a young man with a high ceiling, and we're really proud of him, and he's doing well for us.
We're talking about the second period. You guys got a 3-1 lead, and then there's that short-handed breakaway. Who was the guy hit, by the way?
Yeah, they had three short-handed breakaways. We weren't too happy with our power play then, but again, he made the key saves. And,
well, I'll talk about the one short-handed you guys had there, which led to the major penalty. Who was that going down on the breakaway there?
I don't remember.
I mean, all realistically, it should have been a penalty shot. But you guys saw something on the video which led to the challenging.
Oh, yeah. O'Donnell was going in the – yeah, and he got hit to the head there. Yeah, there was a slash, a stick to the head there. We saw it on video, so we decided to challenge that. That gave us a five-minute PP. Yeah.
Were you mad at first that it wasn't a penalty shot?
No, not really. Try to stay calm on the bench there.
And then when you saw the five-minute mirror, you're like, yep. Oh, that's okay. We'll
yep.
take that.
Yeah, pretty
of
happy with that. Yeah.
So, and then you scored the goal and make it 4-1.
That was a key goal for us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going into third, what was the the goal of getting through that third
just period. Making sure we get pucks behind, playing the right way, make their D turn, make them defend, and you know, make sure that you win the board battles, and that's what we did.
Now let's hear from Union defenseman Nick Young and goalie Cameron Corpy.
I think this was a game you guys started out so well, 8-0 in shots, 1-0 lead. I mean, you had to feel good what was going on there, right?
Yeah, no, we were totally out playing them. We had them hemmed in their zone. We were playing our way for sure that whole time, yeah.
What happened?
You know, they got a lucky bounce, and we let the energy just totally go their way. And you know what? That's completely on me. It starts with me. I can't let that happen on the bench. But we, you know, we let that get to our heads. And you know, looking forward, like, that's something I will not let be a thing for the year on out.
What do you have to do then?
I gotta get loud and get people up. I think that, you know, when we were like hemming them in, we were loud on the bench, we were energetic, we were feeding off each other, and I let that get away, and I won't do that again.
Cameron, for you, those first two goals, I mean, looked like they had a tough one. The first one, what happened on the first one there?
Just a bad goal. It's unacceptable. Like you were saying, we were dominating that game, and you have a bad one, and then our energy just went away, and never really found it back after that.
Did it get between the arm and the post for that one?
I just went on the ice. Really bad goal. It's on me. It'll be better.
What about the second one?
Second one was, you know, shot from the point. Their guy kind of got a piece of it and kind of just fell, and then, you know, kind of a loose puck after that, and here we get it.
I mean, is it frustrating that you guys outshoot them like 40-16 and it's a 5-1 game in their favor?
Yeah, like, I just got to be better. I mean, their goalie outplayed me, and my number one job is to play better than the guy across from me. So.
Yeah, for you?
And you know what? He's being modest because he's saved us games and everything, and you know what? Like, it's our job to protect him, and we didn't do that. So it's absolutely not on him, and it's on us. And that's something that, you know, I need to be vocal about and make sure we keep our heads on straight, because this guy's been absolutely phenomenal in the pipes this whole season.
How do you bounce back Saturday against St. Lawrence?
Well, I told the guys, we got to keep this taste in our mouth. That's something that I've learned, you know, from my previous experience. If you know, I'm not saying we have to dwell on it. You got to feel it and use it as fuel for tomorrow and just play our way for 60 full minutes.
Cameron, for you?
Yeah, same thing. I think we just got to stick what we're doing. I think we played really well at times. We just got to be able to keep that energy up and be good.
We move on to the Saturday's matchup against St. Lawrence. The Saints beat RPI on Friday 4-3. And the big lineup change you made was giving freshman Braden Gillespie his first collegiate start and goal. Gillespie came to Union from the Ontario Hockey League's Brampton Steelheads, becoming the first major junior player to join the Garnet Chargers. What led to the decision to start Gillespie?
It was something that we had been talking about for quite some time now. He's, you know, been gaining our confidence as a staff and the team's confidence. And, you know, you got to get, you know, him in at some point, and just felt like it was a good time to give, you know, Cameron a night off, and obviously just felt like Gillespie had earned the start.
Can you talk about the recruiting process with Gillespie?
A little unique in the sense that, you know, it happened later. Obviously, with everything that happened with Kyle, we were looking for a goaltender and wanted someone that we felt like that had some experience in playing in big games. And, you know, we just kept watching, you know, video, and obviously his season was done at that point. So everything was done on video. He came in on visit, and we offered him on the spot, just, you know, type of person you like to be around, has a good personality, and you know, luckily enough for us, he committed.
Well, Gillespie played well in the game. He made 27 saves, including a couple of breakaways. How would you assess his play?
I thought he was very, you know, calm in there for a guy that is playing his first collegiate game. You never would have known that. Again, like you mentioned, he made some really big saves, and, you know, not much he could have done. You know, the first goal was a really good shot, you know, maybe off like a low angle shot, and then the second one was a tip. So, you know, gave us a lot of confidence, and, you know, feel really good about our goaltending.
Well, there's another storyline in this game. Two senior forwards who had yet to score a goal did so. It started with Nate Hanley getting his first goal of the season on a wrist shot from the right circle with 3:38 left in the first period. It was just the week before that in the second RPI game that Hanley was a healthy scratch. So how good was it to see him score?
I thought this weekend you really saw more of what we're expecting from Nate. He was playing with a lot of confidence, playing with his swagger. When he's playing that way, we're a different hockey team.
And Colby McArthur got going, scoring his first two goals of the season. He got the first one with 1:02 left in the first, and then he scored on a one-timer midway through the second period. I mean, how good was it to see him get on track?
Yeah, we needed that. I mean, if you would have told me that we would be eight games in and, you know, Nate Hanley and Colby McArthur hadn't scored, I would have thought we would have lost a lot of hockey games because they're a big part of our offense, and getting those guys going will be huge for us.
And then Brandon Burr had another outstanding game with a goal and two assists. To me, he has been a very consistent player, and it won't shock me if he scores over 20 goals. He came close last year with getting 19. Possibly candidate for East Ace Hockey Player of the Year?
I think he's got to be in the mix. He's that kind of player. He's good every single night. Everybody knows who he is at this point, so he's on everybody's radar, and he, you know, continues to produce.
Well, Union wins the game 5-2, and afterwards, you thought that the effort against the Saints was maybe a bit below the Clarkson game. What was the reasoning behind that?
I was just frustrated with the chances that we gave up. We had you have a first year goaltender. I expected us to lock that down and not give up some breakaways, so I was frustrated with that. After watching the video, maybe I was a little bit a little more upset than maybe I should have been, but I just think that we can't be a team that's given up, you know, breakaways, especially when a first-year guy is playing his first game.
Well, that game was the first time that Union failed to outshoot an opponent in a period. Of course, it was tied both shots and going to second and third period, so you still outshot the opponent, but it was season-low 31 shots, which I think teams would die to get 31 shots.
Yeah, it's, you know, we need to be scoring 4 and 5. If we're scoring 4 and 5 and only getting 30 shots, we'll take it. But, we want to be a high shot volume team. We want to be getting to the traffic areas and getting second and third opportunities. And that'll definitely be a challenge this weekend.
Well, let's hear from Braden Gillespie, Colby McArthur, and Nate Hanley.
Great. Let me start with you. When did you get the notice that you're going to start tonight?
I found out this morning, so I was looking forward to that. Came to the rink and then got the word that I was playing, so I was super excited to get going.
Any nerves?
No, just pure excitement, really. Just wanted to get out there and play, so it was really fun.
How do you feel you played?
Feel I played pretty well. I mean, the boys helped me a lot there with a couple of big block shots for me, but other than that, I had their backs when they made some mistakes, and obviously they had my back when I made some mistakes.
Well, let's get the opinion of Colby and Nate. Colby first.
Yeah, no, he played amazing. You could tell he didn't have any nerves. He right from the start, from the dressing room, he was ready to roll, and he played great.
Nate?
Yeah, Giuseppe had a heck of a game. I mean, we obviously know from practice he's a good goalie, so glad to see it translate to a game.
Nate, for you, obviously last week you missed the RPI game as a healthy scratch. Josh, said some great things about you. You took this, took it well. What did you learn from it, and how good was it to get your first goal of the season tonight?
I felt really good. Just needed to get my game back, and I felt like I did that this weekend.
What do you think was missing it?
Probably scoring.
Good. Colby, for you, finally getting on the board?
Yeah. No, I felt great. Obviously getting the win, too, so yeah, it was a good night.
Were you worried about lack of confidence, did you know it was going to come with the goals?
Yeah, no, I'm playing with some great guys, obviously, so I knew if I got a chance, I'd be able to bear it sooner or later, so it was good.
Same for you, Nate. Were you worried about your confidence at all or not?
No.
So talk about the goal, your goal. I mean, it was a great pass.
Lucas passed me, skated on the right side, shot it in the net.
Oh, can you talk about your goals?
Yeah, Bergey made some great passes. One, Lindy won the battle behind the net. Hit me on an empty net, so that was good to get the first one. And then the second one, same thing. Lindy won a battle to Bursey, another one pretty much wide open, so it was good. Thanks, line mates.
Brandon, for you, I mean, how much pressure was on you? Because obviously with the loss last night, were you feeling any pressure to try to play well and get a split this weekend?
There wasn't really any pressure. I just wanted to go out there and give the boys the best chance to win a game, and obviously we won, so I mean, I was pretty happy with the outcome.
Well, how big of a bounce back was this after last night's game?
Yeah, we needed it. We all knew we needed it. So last night, I didn't think we played too bad, but the bounce didn't go our way. So, yeah, it was a big one tonight.
And Nate, for you, same question?
That was huge, yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Let's take a break. We'll talk more about Ben Muethersbaugh one-game suspension and preview this weekend's non-conference matchups against UMass Lowell and New Hampshire at M&T Bank Center and the return of former Union goalie Kyle Chauvet on Saturday. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity. From the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Shawn, joined by Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Housie. Josh, let's get into the Ben Muethersbaugh suspension. Yeah, obviously, it's a stick to the head, so I mean, I can see why he's got suspended. But my biggest complaint is that ECAC Hockey has a policy of not announcing player suspensions. And to me, this is a silly policy. It leads to people like me speculating about whether or not a player has been suspended. I've heard rumblings that the conference doesn't want to hurt the player's chances of future employment, obviously with social media and Google and search and all that fun stuff. I don't think it's going to hurt someone because they found out on the internet a player was suspended for a transgression. I mean, heck, I can think of worse transgressions than a one-game suspension. I tried to get a comment from ECAC Hockey Commissioner Doug Christensen about it. He declined comment. I mean, should the conference drop this policy? Because, I mean, I just don't. I look back to what happened with the Mayor's Cup role in 2014. If they didn't announce suspensions then, we would have been, going crazy trying to figure out who's not in the lineup and how many games are not going to be in the lineup.
It's a difficult one to really say. I mean, I get one vote, and every year my vote is to announce the suspensions, because I just think it just simplifies it for everyone, and I don't think it's gonna hurt people in the future. But obviously I support our league and whatever our league decides, and there's 11 other coaches that think differently. I'm gonna continue to try to fight for it and just get it announced, because I do think it'll save some headaches.
I mean, this is an every year vote. I mean, what was the vote this past year? Can you elaborate?
I don't even really know. I just know I continue to bring it up, as for me it's something that I would like to see be announced, but others they just think it's kind of a non-issue, and but I just it's kind of, again, everybody's wondering why someone's not in the lineup some nights, and it's like, well, it's because we can't play him. So
is it the Ivy League schools that maybe are?
I think it's a concern for them, but I think that in all reality it's just, it's one of those things that I think people go back and forth on, and I think if you just keep pressing it, I think we'll get it switched at some point.
No, I'll keep pressing for it. Trust me. That way, I'm not making you feel uncomfortable. The coach is uncomfortable. Well, Union gets to play a pair of games this weekend against Hockey East opponents at M&T Bank Center. First up is UMass Lowell at 7 p.m. on Friday, and then Kyle Chauvet returns with New Hampshire coming in for a 5 p.m. game on Saturday. Well, let's start with the Friday matchup. The Riverhawks are 5-5 on the season and coming off a split of their two-game series against UNH. UMass Lowell is coached by Norm Bazin. What do you know about the Riverhawks?
They're a really hard-working hockey team. They swarm you in their defensive zone. They really look to outnumber. They're physical, and they have some pretty talented players.
Well, this is the first meeting between Union and UMass Lowell since the NCAA Hockey Tournament Bridgeport Regional Championship game on March 24, 2012. Union won 4-2 to earn its first trip to the Frozen Four. You were coaching in juniors at that time. Did you get a chance to watch that game?
Yeah, I don't think I got to watch the whole thing, but I definitely was following along.
And what did you think of the game?
Impressed with, you know, obviously Union and UMass Lowell back then was really humming. So there was really, you know, two really good hockey teams. Yeah.
Of course, the big story takes place Saturday with former Union goalie Kyle Chauvet returning to Schenectady as he leads UNH into M&T Bank Center. Chauvet spent three seasons with Union and was the team's number one goalie the last 2 years. I know you have Friday's game to worry about, but there has to be a lot of excitement for Saturday's game and Kyle coming back.
You know, I look at Kyle and was always really good with my family. As his parents would, you know, sometimes watch my kids. You know, if my wife was running to the concession stand or whatnot. So yeah, it'll be good to see him and looking forward to it.
A couple of listeners, Jim Calhoun and Allison Bennett, basically asked the same question that I was going to ask. What will it be like facing Kyle?
It's going to be different. I think. You know, anytime you have someone play for you, you know, you grow to, you know, like them and get to know them, and it'll be different. And I mean, obviously, wish him nothing but the best, but not on Saturday.
Well, of course. Were you disappointed to see Kyle, who's from Goffstown, New Hampshire, leave? And did it surprise you that he chose to play for the team he rooted for as a kid?
No, it didn't surprise me that he went to UNH. You know, we never want anybody to leave our program, but if they don't feel like it's the right spot for them in the right time, we totally understand. Which it's really weird in the transfer portal world. You know, it's not what I'm accustomed to, and not the way I necessarily like the way the college hockey is right now with some of this stuff and as far as transferring and people going elsewhere. But you know, as much as it, you know, stinks to have a player leave like Kyle, we've got some really good ones that came in, so it really works both ways.
Well, Kyle also has a, you know, 4 or 5 start with New Hampshire's, played all the games. I spoke with Kyle as well as New Hampshire head coach Mike Souza on Wednesday, and you will hear those interviews on Thursday's podcast. Mike said that Kyle has been UNH's best player so far this season. That doesn't surprise you, right?
No, he's a talented goalie, and you know, I think he has kept them in a lot of hockey games. I do think they defend really hard and, you know, limit teams' chances. And, you know, I think Kyle's done a nice job for him.
Well, Mike also has some nice things to say about you, and he thought maybe you weren't, when he took over at UNH, maybe you weren't under consideration for a head coach, assistant coach job.
Yeah, that's, yeah, nice of him to say. And I've always had a really good relationship with him from back when he was at Brown and I was coaching in the USHL. And, you know, it just kind of grew a friendship from there.
Well, we'd like to take questions from our listeners, and we have a couple. Union Bob 1 on X asks about thoughts, ideas, and plans to motivate guys for both games. Also, will we see more of Gillespie, or will it be game to game? And in regards to Gillespie, Ryan Fay asked, Gillespie showing on Saturday, did that change the conversation and goal at all, or is it still more likely Corpy shoulders the overwhelming amount of time there?
Yeah, it's, I mean, definitely Gillespie has, like, earned our trust and, you know, the opportunity to get some more games here, and we try to approach it as a, you know, a weekly, day-to-day kind of basis. Obviously, we're really happy with our goaltending. I think, you have a goalie like Cam, who's started off and played outstanding for us, and then, you know, Braden comes in and does his job, and then, you know what, Brendan Holohan is, like, he's working extremely hard and is an impressive goalie too. So really confident in all three of them, and they're all going to continue to battle.
Could it be one of these weekends where maybe you give time to one goaltender and another start to the other?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some time where you'll see that this season. And, you know, the out-of-conference games are a good opportunity for that, as well as just, you know, if someone's playing really well too, we want to, you know, ride them as well.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the question, everyone. Of course, if you have a question for Josh, email them to me at SCHOTT, that's SCHOTT, at dailygazette.com, or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at SlapShots. The Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks, usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays. To play, send your picks to SCHOTT at dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend, and we'll talk after these games, and we'll do this podcast again next week.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks, Josh. Josh Algie. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll preview the Union RPI football Dutchman's Shoes game. I'll have interviews from Wednesday's press conference and also talk with Union football beat writer Will Springstead. Gazette High School writer Drew Wemple breaks down this weekend's Section 2 football tournament championship games. The Gazette's Mike McAdam discusses the life and legacy of former Saratoga Springs High School cross-country and track and field coach Art Kranick, who died last Saturday at the age of 74. And I'll talk Union men's and women's hockey. I hope you'll tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.